Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we realize you are here and we are in your presence, that we have crossed over to your side, even as a cry came, who is on the Lord's side? We are happy and anxious to be on your side, Lord, and be approved of you, through the not only through the blood, and by the sealing of the Holy Spirit, but a walking in the light, even as we are living in that light. Not living in a glare, but living in the truth of the revealed word of Almighty God, which is shining upon us and helping us to come to a place of maturity. Lord, mature our minds, mature our hearts, our souls, our very lives, O God, before you, that we might be those mature Christians, strong Christians in the adoption, even as Paul spoke of that, strong food for strong people able to bear. Peter knew that many people could not bear the strong food that Paul gave, but Lord, we know we are able to bear it. We hunger for the depth of revelation of that which you desire to give us. Not hungering, Lord, to go beyond us, simply hungering to know the truth to set us free, Lord, and we to walk in that light. And one day walking down the road of this mortality, to walk into the path of immortality, changed in a twinkling of an eye, and then caught up with the redeemed to meet you in the skies, Lord, of the great wedding supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Help us this morning to apprehend truth within the inner man and then display it in the outer according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we were looking into the fact of stewardship, and there was a great office given to Adam upon earth when he was given the charge to raise up children to Almighty God, to populate the earth, and then actually to take over what God had already created. Even as the scripture said, what is man that thou art mindless, son of man, that you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you set him over the work of your hands. And we know that God gave Adam that promise, and it was a command promise. It was a command promise on the grounds that God told him to do it. That's a command. And the very fact that God told him to do it was his enablement. And you found that, and Brother Branham did bring that out when he spoke of his own ministry, paralleling that of Joshua's, where God gave the command to Joshua, and be thou strong, he said, of good courage. And when God tells us to be strong and of good courage, then that automatically is our enablement, because if God said it, then it can be done, and it will be done. And, of course, it's a matter of learning to get out of the way. Well, Adam did not discharge his responsibility. And after God created all these things, he says in chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And, of course, we know that was God speaking to his son. You could, if you wanted to, be like the Queen of England and in the editorial we. Our majesty is displeased, or we are displeased. Well, who cares about we? You know, I mean, I'm not really a queen basher, but I want you to know this is not the editorial we. This is God speaking to his son. They are communing together. One fellow I heard of, and he evidently went to Australia, according to reports I've gotten, he said that this was God speaking to Satan. Well, now, maybe... Well, I won't finish that thought. You can guess what I was going to say. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then, you know, he's got dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. That's mankind. And over the fowl there, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Now, you notice there's a certain portion in there that God creates. There's a certain portion that God uses to form from the earth, which was already created, having within it all the elements that the body would require to be sustained. And Brother Branham even likened that when God got through fashioning Adam like a tree with his roots in the ground, like Adam with his feet in the ground there, than coming forth like a great tree. And it is true, because we're like trees in that particular respect. And you know what they call tracing the family tree? So there's likeness there. It's just a little bit of a thought. And anyway, he created them, but there's a part, of course, that wasn't created in form. That's when God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And the breath of lives is what it is. And he became a living soul. So you can see the distribution of God, which is the part of soul, the spark, the gene, the part of God, a bit of God, comes by human, production. It's produced, and that lifeblood is in the veins. Life is in the blood, coursing through the veins and all. And we have, therefore, then, a remarkable relationship to Almighty God. That's why I could say in the dedication service this morning that giving a child back to God is not only legitimate, it's actually mandatory. Because children are the inheritance of God. And actually God himself, who is the great creator, has an inheritance. That sounds awfully strange, isn't it? But it's true. They are an inheritance. Why? Because this life of God comes through the parents, and the parents give the children back and rear the children for God, and we have a godly race of people. It's a pity that we have so many portions of our will not under the actual tutelage. Well, it's under the tutelage of God, but we don't actually respond as we should. And Adam, of course, doesn't respond correctly either. Actually, we find Adam giving up what God gave him. And so we took that back last night, and we went back to the beginning and to see where Satan was the great beginning of things of God, created so perfectly, everything in a divine order. And we saw how the Satan just ruined the whole order and became the first one who fell from his great position because he perverted the word of God. Now, when you pervert the word of God, what you're saying is this: I am destroying that which is perfect. Because remember, the word of God is perfect, converting the sinner. That word of God was so perfect, it brought forth children in a sinful condition, the word coming right around and bringing him back. Why? Because the word corrects the word. If there's any error, the word will correct it. Because any error comes from iniquity, which is a perversion. Like you and I today, we have problems with our doctrine. Well, I don't have any problem with a few things. So anyway, we find that Adam, not inadvertently, but fooled by Satan, gave up his great position. So as I say, last night we took that back, and I want to read some of my notes, and I'm going to try to work in where I can catch us all up to date on where I want to be and finish this message. So last night we read for quite some time, we have viewed and reviewed the stewardship of Satan and angels and spirit beings, and we have seen how they have failed in their offices, though endowed with tremendous gifts from God, with Elohim himself standing behind those empowerments that Elohim himself had ordained unto them, even to the extent that when Michael the archangel contended with Satan over the body of Moses, he could not do anything but say, "The Lord rebuke thee." And in there you see an example of the fact the scripture says, and I meant to look it up to get the context, but I didn't. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, if anybody would try to tell you that Satan is a different creature from the time that God created him, you will be in error. Because the Bible already tells you, you were perfect in all your ways until iniquity was found in you. In other words, you began to pervert the word. It doesn't say one thing about Satan any other way. Now, from that time on, of course, you see a deterioration in the character and the ways that Satan conducted himself. Because now he wants to be above God. And you see that right in religions today. And you have to remember that Satan was a marvelous creation who led in the worship of God. And he had an effort. He had everything in line to do this job, and he was doing it right. He was doing it in the presence of God with Michael. And the Michael was the body that the Son of God, Jesus, used at that time. So we have Michael, an archangel, and we have a higher order even in creation. And that higher order of creation was a cherubim. Now, if you're looking at creation, you're going to find out that we are a little lower than the angels. We're much lower than a cherub or a seraphim. Much lower. As far as creation is concerned. But you cannot get higher than sonship when it comes to reality. Because anything created did not have a beginning, and consequently, except for the breath of God, the desire of God, the privilege of God, extending that light in those created beings, they're going to be gone. Because they got a beginning. And Brother Branham said in one place, that which has a beginning has an ending. But of course, and that's true, except if God intervenes. But when it comes to us and the only begotten Son, that's eternality. There's no beginning, and consequently there is no ending. But when it comes to positioning, God Almighty can take and place in a position a cherubim or an angel, which gives him seemingly a position greater than which a human being would have. But that is not true. It's only in the sense of the greatness of creation. And remember, that would be greater than the spirit that we got created by God, or the forming of the dust. But when it comes to the application of reality, you're on this side. Not the left side, you're on the right side of blessing, which is the lineage of God and the inheritance of God. And then everything else must then come and bow to it. You see, in one area there's a superior side. Forget it. If you take that side, then you're going to find yourselves involved with materiality when the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy and peace and the Holy Ghost. And the fruit of the Spirit is entirely different from the fruit or the manifestation of the flesh. And they're both outlined in the book of Galatians. You'll see a vast and tremendous difference there. So, all right, you're looking then at a created being. And he's called Satan or Lucifer. And that one was the greatest created being that God had ever created. And I suppose at this time, he's still the greatest created being that God has created. And that hasn't changed. See, what he was made for hasn't changed. Now that he has defiled it and used it in a wrong way, which he has, does not change the fact that intrinsically he is that one. See, now that's the same thing with you and me. I don't care what we went through and Paul went through and anybody else is sinners. That has nothing to do with it. Like Brother Brandon said, you didn't do it in the first place. Tricked into it. No imputation there at all. David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Didn't say the man wouldn't sin. God didn't impute it to him. Then there's the scripture comes along and explains it. And John explains it. And he tells you the seed of God cannot sin. There's no way the seed can sin. The Son of God can't sin because his seed remaineth in him. And what is his seed? His seed is a gene from God. Show me where God can sin. Show me where God would pervert his word. At the same time, a child of God then has the greatest faith in the world. You don't have to measure it. I've got a lot of faith. I've got a little faith. I can shut up. You got faith. Because you see, that seed will never deny the word of God. Can't do it because why? It's a part of it. That's how can God deny you and me when we're part of it? People often say, I have disinherited my son. I disown him. Ha! You and who else? That's the stupidest thing in the world. You say, well, I don't agree with my son. I don't have a thing to do with him anymore. He's still my son. But we just don't walk on the same level. We don't walk on the same plane. We don't think the same thoughts. We don't do the same thing. And as far as the flesh is, he's my son. But spiritually, oh, brother, I got a problem. There's nothing there. But still a son. Can't do a thing about it. See, people will argue and they will advise, revise, cogitate, then think again, and come up with some half-baked solution which isn't a solution. Just answer the problem. And that's what they do with the Bible. It's a pity. Started all back in the garden. Okay, for quite some time we talked about Satan here. And even when Michael the archangel at the time of Moses, death rebuked, he couldn't do anything but rebuke him. And you notice what Michael, who was actually the angelic form that, an archangelic form that Jesus was inhabiting, you know, in kind of incarnating himself in, like you kind of call that. Although the word carnus has to do with flesh, but he's in the spirit being. And he contended with Satan, and he didn't say, I rebuke you. He said, the Lord rebuke you. In other words, it was a prayer to the Father that the Father would have to do something because this was a great personage with great authority. Paul had, as I mentioned last night, had the same problem. He called a high priest of whited wall, and a soldier struck him, and he said, why did you do that? Well, he said, you don't talk to the high priest that way. Well, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I didn't know he's a high priest. I would not have said it. See, there's a recognition of authority. There's a recognition of position. There's a recognition that God is over all and has set everything in order, even to the extent, as Peter tells us, that the very officers of the government and of the law, the arm of the government, which is the which is the law, the legal department. He tells you that that's all ordained of God, and they are all messengers of God, and if you obey them, you have no fear, because they are those that set in order to keep the physical things in order. And we realize that that has spun out of control, too. That's spun out of control. But you see, all of these things are of God. Then we saw Satan via the beast invade Eden, the headquarters of God on earth, and take into captivity Eve, and consequently, subsequently, Adam, through means of a perversion and a misapplication of the word, turning a curse into a blessing and a position they were not to assume because it wasn't theirs. Now, remember, Satan came and said, you shall not surely die. Eat of that tree of life. It won't, that tree of knowledge, it won't kill you. Why, you're going to have your eyes open and you're going to be as gods. You're going to have a greater position. Now, come on, do what I say. Now, come on, don't tell me the church hasn't done that and is not doing it. Now, Satan did it. He even told them things that God hadn't told him, and God had to stand by it. Didn't God say, now he's become a one of us, knowing good and evil? So you think the devil can't come along and trick you? Hey, if I didn't have a vindicated prophet, I would blow my brains out. Not just figuratively speaking, I think I would have to do it. Now, of course, I likely wouldn't do it because I'd have a self-delusion of grandeur. I came to the Lord. I found him. And I believe, and look at me. Yeah, don't look too hard. I'd advise you it could maybe turn your stomach. So Satan came as an angel of light. He came down there kneading with his ephod on, as a high priest. And Satan is a high priest to his own religion. Now, let's face it. Didn't God come down and inhabit the form of Jesus Christ to turn people to himself? Then don't you think Satan will come down and do everything to turn people to himself? Well, come on. What's worship all about? Huh? Makes you think, doesn't it? Well, I'm only trying to help you. All right. Satan came into Eden to his subtlety, and he converted these people to himself, to his own interpretation of the word, turning death into life, a curse into a blessing, promising them a position that they weren't ordained to. See? Now, if they'd have been ordained to it, they'd have got it from God. You say, well, perhaps they were ordained, but not at that time. See how scripture, see how the devil takes scripture, misplaces it, puts it in the wrong time slot, gives it a slant, turns a blessing to a curse to a blessing. Now, how could he do it? He was made that way to lead in worship and want one word off, although Satan had many words off, one word off took the human race, the true children of God, away from the position God put them in. Now, the word of God can't return void, so you're going to see that position restored. And you do. And you see it through Jesus Christ, the elder brother. So, okay. Then, Satan, turning a curse into a blessing, given a position that wasn't warranted. And you find that over here in 1 Corinthians 12, 1-3. Now, we didn't go into this last night. I know I'm on a treadmill this morning. Set the turkeys back 3 hours and we'll see what happens. Okay, now concerning the spirituals, the gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols even as you were led. Now, this speaks of a compulsion, of an entrapment, of where people worship idols and come under the influence of spirits that they have identified those idols of clay and gold and silver, wood and stone with, saying the spirit dwells in this idol and the spirit now can come into me. And you'll see that they were being led by spirits, which is actually then devil religion. Now, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So when you have Satan coming on the scene, you will find that the devil has the ability to turn the word of God that's a curse into a blessing, and turn the blessing of God into a curse. So he says here now, the devil can come on the scene with idolatry, and he can take this very word, because Paul had brought them the word and they knew the word, because Paul explains that in the first two chapters, how the word came and how they got it. And there was a group that was people that fragmenting the body of Christ, and they were giving way to traditions of men, to fables, and they were finally giving away to the false prophets, the false apostles, and everything which was positively the devil. And Paul says, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And he said, I want you to know one thing. There is no way the devil can take anything I say here concerning Jesus Christ, which is a curse if you turn him down and make it a blessing, or make it a blessing when it's a curse, vice versa. So that's what I'm looking at. The 1 Corinthians 12 really means, and I catch it back here in Genesis. Why? Because this is an infant church started by the Apostle Paul, God through the Apostle Paul through God in the Word. So if I'm not making myself too clear, let's go over it again. It's back here I told you that Satan took a verse of Scripture. And that is, God said to them, eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will die. And Satan came and says, on the contrary, you will not die. He said, I will tell you what will happen. You will now have a status just like unto Almighty God. You will be a part of that. You will definitely be a part of it. Your eyes will be open, and you'll know good and evil. He turned what was death to life. But you can't do that. That's the same as saying, okay, Jesus Christ, you use the terminology concerning him, and you say, look, and he's talking now to the Jews and those that didn't believe in Jesus and others that had their philosophy. He said, all right, I'm going to tell you one thing. This, I can show you scripture. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And I'm telling you, and I'm informing you, the Holy Ghost to you, that this man is accursed. And he twisted the whole thing so that you could no longer come around and say, Jesus is Lord, though he died upon Calvary, he is risen again, and he's Lord of Lords, except by the Holy Ghost. There is not a genuine living Jesus Christ on the throne of God today unless you've got the Holy Ghost. Get that flat. Now, I'm speaking by revelation because this did not come to me till this morning and at this time. And my revelation is correct. And don't think it isn't. Because I'll challenge you, take your Bible and prove me wrong on those three verses right now. Because you cannot make him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now, what will you do? If you can't see him on the Father's throne right now, then you've got a curse on him. Why? Because he's cast off from the Father's presence. The Father's down here. See, Scripture doesn't lie, my brother, my sister. And there's no Scripture that doesn't reveal itself in this end time. Now, on the day of Paul, he was on the mercy seat. Take him off that mercy seat before this hour. And you do not have Jesus exalted by God, you have him set aside, then he's accursed. Isn't that true concerning Adam and Eve? The minute that they went against the word of God and took the word of Satan, that they became accursed in that legitimate sense that they had to die? Didn't the word of God go negative? Then how can you and I have the Word of God positive if we don't see Elohim down here and the Son who took the book, the Lamb, coming behind the throne, took the book out of the Father's hand, ripped off the seals, turned the book back to the Father, climbed on the Father's throne, and the Father came down here, and there's a reflection, that's the Shekinah glory reflection of the presence of God behind it. The prophet William Branham. Yeah. Okay, and so Satan started up his kingdom on earth and established a religion and a religious system by the very endowments and gifts and the very essence of his being and his original calling, which we note was of the highest order of creation in heaven and was exceeded only by the seed of God and God himself, that's the Son of God and God, as to not only essentiality but preeminence and authority. There was only one higher than God, that was the seed of God and God. Two. See? Now you notice that he used everything he had that God gave him to nullify worship to God, to set at naught the children of God, to bring confusion and disorder. I ask you a question. Who was doing this in the Corinthian church? I speak with tongues, hallelujah. And Paul said, yeah, I speak with tongues more than you all. What does that mean? Oh, they said, we prophesy. Yeah, how many were boasting about the gift of healing? I don't doubt, but some had it. What about the gifts of the word of knowledge and wisdom? What about faith? Miracles? I no doubt they had it. Brother Branham said any local church could have all nine gifts in operation. But first of all, you got to have a man at the door discerning his spirits, or the devil can come right along and twist the whole thing into an ill breeze. So who do you think we're speaking up against, Paul? Those that said, I got some too. The same Korah, Dave, and the Byron says, who is this guy Moses anyway to tell us he's got everything? Why, we've got things too. I've had them throw that in my face about Brother Branham. Well, you know, Brother Bill, I prophesy God. Oh, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Paul called their bluff. And he said, okay, you've rested the Scripture. You've taken the curse to be a blessing. You've taken the blessing to be a curse. Remember, it's always left hand, right hand, blessing, cursing. You never get away from it. And they had it exactly opposite. They had it all messed up. And they were backed up by the gifts that God, with which God had endowed them. Now he said, you that think your spirits are full of the Holy Ghost and you that call yourself a prophet, you will have to acknowledge that the word that I write unto you, and that word alone, is the commandment of God. Vindicated 100%. That's where we stand this morning. So don't think for 1 minute Satan's not here with his ephod, with his brilliant light, with his seduction, with his charm. Oh, you people have no love. Is that a fact? Am I to love you more than God, or do I show my love to God by loving you? Then who do I love of you? Brother Branson, how you should love each other, you to love this word. So now I become categorized. I become bounded. You think you're unbounded? God himself is bound by his own word. You think God is limitless? Like the air? Don't be ridiculous. God's a person. I wonder how many children Adam has by natural generation here on earth, which was supplied from his loins in the beginning. Through 6,000 years, there could be 2 billion. That should answer some questions. Maybe yes, maybe no. All right. We saw Satan in Ezekiel 28:12-18 as actually being the summation of what God wanted to do for excellence in a created being. You'll notice I did not say what God did on the grounds that God could not do more and better. I don't know. I only know that he was the one of the supreme ranking in that creation. Notice carefully and indelibly the words of Genesis 3:1 and the first part of it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah Elohim had made. Satan now uses the highest totally created and highest order of mammalian life on earth to get at the children of God to induce iniquity within them, wherein they, like Satan, could now use their marvelous endowments contrary to the very purpose of their being and be in a fallen condition and used of Satan to originate and nourish a system of worship that would eventually lead to the enthronement of Satan as spoken of in Revelation 13:8. So he induces the highest form of creation to get to man who was created, formed, and eternal. Body, soul, and spirit. What did he do? He applied to their reasoning. His brother Branham said he wanted wisdom. His brother as James said, the wisdom which is from below is sensual. And she went straight for sex. I'm going to get to that one of these days. I want to clear a lot of things up if I possibly can from the scripture. Not that I'm any great authority, but there's scripture on it. So, the highest order of animal life on earth outside of the human being. Remember, the beast had no soul. The serpent had no soul, but he had a place for one. When that life of Eve, which came from Adam, which came from God, because remember, she was outside creation. Brother Brown didn't say she was outside from the beginning of eternality. He said creation, not in the original creation. But she had to be inside of God, the same as Adam, or no woman could ever be seen. And that's ridiculous. Because she had the same life that Adam had. And she has to produce life. And that egg has to have life in it, even though it's a human life. There still is an element of the supernatural there has to be. Or how in the world could a child be born the seed of God? It just couldn't be. Why would God take Abraham and say it's got to be by Sarah? See? Why did Isaac have to go down and get up Rebekah? Why did Jacob have to go down and marry outside of the realms in his generation around where he lived? Because he had to get the seed. You had to get like to like. See? So, all right. Now, Satan uses his highest order to get what he wanted, which was to bring forth that religion, which culminates in Revelation 3:13. And you notice the words of Paul, and that's our day, because it's the same bride, the same church that started back there in the first century with Paul.
And he said Satan himself is transformed into an emissary of light, a messenger. Therefore, he said, don't think for one minute that his fivefold ministers and his deacons and his elders, his presbyters, his people also have transformed themselves the way Satan has. And it was Satan who transformed himself as an angel of light to Adam and Eve, because he came and through the beast, the intelligent creature, and he said to Eve, look, he said, I'm talking for God. I'm the one that can tell it to you. Well, he said, I was up there and I led in the worship of God. And believe me, he did lead in the worship of God. And since Moses made all things according to the pattern which was in heaven, there was an ark up there, cherubims over the ark, there was everything up there that was brought down here naturally. There was a system. Everything was in form. And if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find that there in the 4th chapter and the 5th chapter. It's all outlined. Get into Ezekiel, you'll see it there. Get into Isaiah, you'll see it there. Right down the line, you're going to find what is in heaven, there originally, in creation form, eternal form, you find it right down here on earth in a form which is either identical or is going to be typed on it. Now then, we find that Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, you've already been seduced by Satan, the same as he seduced Eve, because your minds have now taken in that which is of Satan, which is what? Perverted word. I told you before, Satan never had a word of his own. He always perverts God's word. There is nothing on this earth that Satan has that was not originally created by God, even devils from hell, as you call it. But they are those which were fallen. I think Brother Branham said 2/3 of the angelic population. Now, these emissaries, these people, they're in Satan's religion and under Satan. These are those men of whom James spoke in the 3rd chapter, of whom Peter spoke when he said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him say what God said or shut up. The same order of Moses is said, don't add a word or take a word. See? They have made themselves, these men, who were already told, and the church told, don't alter one word. Peter warned, as I said, against it. You speak as yours of God. Paul said, say what I say. That's in Philippians. Be of the same mind, say the same thing. Right on down the line. But no, they won't. What will they do? They will be as James said. They will use the word of God, and it will be the word of God. And then out of the left-hand corner of their mouth, they will put their interpretation upon it. You cannot have a fountain bringing forth sweet and bitter water. You cannot have a tree bringing forth figs and brambles. It cannot be done unless it's grafted in. Then it lives on the life of the original vine and bears its own fruit, which is what? False prophecy. The word of God changed and backed up by a manifestation, which are signs following the word, which God cannot deny. Because they take that word. Listen, I came out of Pentecost. I came out of, Presbyterians, Methodist, Presbyterian, combined, Pentecostal, Baptist, you name it, all over the world. And you talk about a mishmash and a mess up. And they'll quote and they'll say, like the Baptist always said, the old, dear old little old lady down there in Kentucky smoking her corn cob pipe. Well, she said, bless God, I believe the Bible kibber to kibber and everything that's written on the kibbers. Oh yeah, they'll quote it too. Then they'll turn around and tell you what it means. Doesn't mean that at all. The devil quoted God. Make no mistake about it, he quoted. And he turned around and he took a curse and said, ha, not so, really. When I give you the mystery of this, your eyes will be open, you'll be wise, and you'll be as God, because now you know what God knows about it. Huh? You think they're not doing that? Come on, come on. Paul says it's these guys here that give you a false Jesus, a false gospel, and a false spirit. They're one of these people, they got a Jesus that they make God. Jesus is not God. He is the Son of God. Otherwise, Brother Branham would not have told us clearly. Jesus, why? Sometimes he's God and sometimes he's not God. In other words, he's God, but he's not God. Well, if he's God, but he's not God, just ask me, answer one question. When is he God? When is he not God? Simple as ABC. God is down here. The Son is up there. He's not God. He's the Son of God. Now, let's face it. When that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, he'll be incarnate in Jesus, then he's God again. And that will be the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God, the altogether loving Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You name it. One that's got a wrong spirit. Not only mean, it's a wrong spirit. Trinitarian's got a loose spirit. You're a bunch of fornicators. I didn't make them that. They made themselves that. So when James speaks, he calls them double-souled, and Brother Branham called them duels. You got the same thing in this so-called message today. They'll tell you Brother Branham says and interpret to you. Why not just go back to the Bible and find it? Brother Branham said, I got a little I can get out of the way. I took you to the Word of God and showed you how Paul got out of the way. Do you think Brother Branham did any different? No, by no means, no. The same thing. See, the Bible lines up, brother, sister. I told you years ago, the Bible's like a pie. I don't care where you cut it. If you cut it straight across, it properly goes right to the center. There is no doctrine that does not lead to Christ, the full manifestation and revelation of Almighty God. No way. And there's no doctrine that ever cuts another doctrine. It always end up right in the centrality of Christ, right back to God. In other words, they all blend and they center. They don't cut. You don't cut a pie into little goofy sections. Well, you can if you want, but that's not how to cut a pie. Spirit of God never teach you that. We saw this. We saw then James telling the people what Jesus said. Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said they'll come with the signs that follow the word, casting out devils, raising the dead. They'll be prophesying, doing many wonderful things. And they'll say false to the word of God through misinterpretation or misplacing. We're giving it a time element that doesn't belong therein. See, the whole thing lines up. Everything, brother, sister, has to do with stewardship, God-giving offices and endowments to created beings, to his own children, right freely around the whole world. And what do people do with it? They take it out of the framework wherein it must exist because it was all made by the Word of God and is maintained by the Word of God. You cut that word, it'll bleed to death. The life goes out of it. You can't have it. You see what we're talking about now? This is where religion is everything. And religion, and I'm trying to bring you to the place where religion brings in economics and show you where it came from, as I did last night. Okay. Now, Isaiah saw this, the same as Ezekiel. And in there we saw how that the devil fell from the place that God had given him. And then I read an article last night, Malachi Martin, how that the article read, Plotting World Order in Rome. He plotted it. They're plotting it. Now I ask you a question. Is there any difference between the Pope and his cardinals plotting a world order different from Hitler with his army plotting a world order? None. None. Didn't Hitler make it work? Hitler and his German cohorts did not have and could never have the backing of Satan to make it work, as will Rome, because Hitler was in economics exclusively. He didn't care two bits about spirituality, but Rome blatantly screams spiritual and is now in economics and has always been engaged in war. Christianity gone awry is no different from Mohammedism and Buddhism. They both take the sword to destroy when necessary, screaming we're making converts to God. And the Catholics had justified themselves since St. Augustine all the time by saying, if God smote down Paul in his raging against God, then we could smite down people and tame their raging against God too and convert them through those tactics.
Well, you see where we're at, brother. So you said that's why Brother Branham talked about Hitler and Stalin and those guys loosing the 200,000 horsemen at the River Euphrates, the devils, as a prelude to what is going on now. For everything goes into communism, Brother Branham said, but he said, don't fear it. It's politics. Watch out for Rome. And what happened? America, that has built the image, is the prime reason that communism fell. The Pope had a lot of guts going to Poland. I'll admit he's a pretty strong fella, but he couldn't got to first base except for Reagan. And the American economy driving communism into the ground, when communism explained that they would drive our economics into the ground and they would destroy us. Yes, the communists said that. And we followed communistic lines to do it. But God didn't say it. God said opposite.
So, hallelujah. I'm on God's side and I'm happy I am. Okay. Now, as Rome had its Constantines to give them prestige and power, that is what we are looking today, that Rome is looking today to have this union. And Rome has rightly declared, and everybody knows politically, you can't find anybody that will deny it, there is no world power and authority today. There is no world statesman. Roosevelt is gone. Churchill has gone. There simply isn't anybody. Margaret Thatcher did very well in Britain, but from there on, she was nothing. And there is nobody today in Europe. There is nobody in Asia. There is nobody in America. There is no central figure except the Pope. Let's admit it. Otherwise, why did Reagan go? Why is Clinton going? Why are they all going? Because it is thus saith the Lord. God has told us in His scripture here what happens when people leave or take away the word out of the framework of the word, which means they're giving it a wrong understanding. As Paul said, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who can prepare to battle? That's exactly why we've been given the certain sound in this hour, where there's many voices in the air, and the airwaves are full of them. We've only got one certain voice, and that's the voice of this word, the word of God that William Branham brought us. So you better just take that and put it to your heart and believe it. So, all right. I showed you last night where all this began. It began in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, where after the world is created, and God is ordained by creating and forming, creating but not yet forming man, who at that time was a spirit being, male and female both. And remember, the spirit was created on both, for both male and female for one reason, propagation. In other words, there was a division of life in order to proceed to make life come in a form. That's all there is to it. For if there's neither male nor female in Christ now, then there never was in the beginning. Right? Alpha and Omega. That's why you got people teaching a female Holy Spirit and a male Holy Spirit. Alpha's Omega and Omega's Alpha. And my Bible tells me there's neither male nor female in the resurrection. There's neither male nor female in Christ. But genetically and physically there are male and female, because females cannot handle the Word of God. The church cannot handle the Word of God. It's up to God to handle His own Word in His own way. But the church carries the seed. In other words, the church brings forth the children unto Almighty God, the Jerusalem which is from above. We went to Genesis here. We saw in Genesis where the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, in chapter 2 and 7, breathing also the breath of lives, and man became a living soul. He could be a propagator now through the flesh of the children of God. And the Lord God planned a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. And out of the ground he made the Lord God every tree that it grow that pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life also amidst the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil didn't come out of the ground because it could kill you. So it's figurative. It's death. But the tree of life then has to be the Word of God, because all things are formed by the Word of God. And the former stood there, and the adversary stood there. You see Word of God, you see perversion. Left hand, right hand. God set Satan. Good spirit, bad spirit. Wisdom, wrong wisdom. True knowledge, wrong knowledge. What is it? All comes from original. Everything came from God. Who do you think made Satan? Perfect in all his ways, so he just perverted that word. So now you see it standing there. Now what do you read? You read an interpolation here in verses 10 to 14. Because after it says the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there, God put the man in the garden to address it and keep it, to prune it and bring forth food to eat. And he said to the man, he said, you can have every tree that I give you to eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll not eat of it. Because you do, then he said, you'll die. That's a continuation. But what's thrown in there? And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it parted into four heads. One river. And now it's got four heads, or four branches. And it tells you here, Pison compasses the land of Havilah, there's gold. And there's good, gold is good. There's Delium, onyx stone. Second is Gion. And the third is compass Ethiopia. The next is Hittico, that goes down and so on. Now that's an interpolation. But that's part of Genesis that I read over here, where he said in Genesis 1:26, he said, let's make man rich and give them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, the cattle, and over all the earth. So Adam was given dominion over all of this earth, which he did not take dominion over because he flunked the test in the Garden of Eden. He took his position with Eve. The devil came along and said, hey, how about a better position? And Eve looks around and she said, my, could there be a position better than this? Do you mean to tell me I can know more? Do you mean to tell me I can have more? Can I have more pleasure? Can I have more this? Can I have that? Can I have the other? Oh, he said, be my guest. She blew it. How many elders today aspire to be pastors when they're not called to be pastors? How many deacons take an authority they're not? It's not given. How many people know better than the fivefold ministry? Oh, Brother Bill, I've spoken in tongues. Oh, I had a vision. I had this. Yeah, did you? Well, maybe you may get worms someday like Herod and get eaten up by them, too. Wouldn't be the first time, wouldn't be the last time. She wasn't content with her stewardship. How many women are content with their stewardship of being mothers in the home and faithful to their husbands? And how many husbands are faithful to their stewardship to keep under one woman and to protect her and the children and live for her? How many men and women have a proper vow before God? No, most people who take a vow before God and have had it done before me simply lie in my teeth. And the woman had no more attention of living up to her vow than a hog. At least at that time. And I haven't seen much evidence since. No, a woman wants something better. Oh, yeah, a man wants something better. Oh, yeah. Boy, she ended up something better having. My God, intercourse with the beast. Not some big elephant covered with hair or something else. Looked so much like a man was. It could mix and propagate. Usually hybrids can't propagate. It's very unusual if something ever happens where one could. Once in a while you hear of it. But they got to be terribly, terribly close in order to really propagate. And that's what this was. The highest creation, mammalian creation, didn't have a soul. You don't have a soul, you don't have a conscience. You don't have your morals right. That's why there's no morals today, they're amoral. Natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. Notice the word says made, not even created. Now, the flesh here today is formed as animal with an inhuman soul. Whatever soul it has is not a part of God, I can tell you that. And the Bible rightly says, brute, natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Brother Branham called it cannon fodder. So what do we? Why do we have this here? We have this here as an explanation where Adam and Eve and their progeny would have left the garden and be here in perfect control. Now, you know that so because he was given dominion over the fish of the sea and over the whales and everything else. And there were no whales, I understand, any fish in the Garden of Eden. So he had to get outside to it. This was his domain. And notice what it says concerning that domain. It particularly mentions gold twice, onyx, and delium, which is a product of nature. An exudation, like myrrh, essential oils, flaxseed oil. You ever hear flaxseed oil? Flaxseed oil is the best oil in the world for you. Nothing like it. You talk to Dr. Budwig, the German doctor. She's a marvelous scientist. You got to combine sulfur with the oil, and it's got to be fresh. It deteriorates almost instantly. It's best that you grind it and put it with your food. And cottage cheese is one of the best. And you have a good meal on it every single day. Flaxseed. Flaxseed oil. You ever heard of sunflower oil? Good for you. Pumpkin seed oil? Great. What about the finest oil there is today in the market if you get it in the right source? Grapeseed oil. Take grapeseed oil, your good cholesterol goes up, your bad cholesterol goes down. It's aromatic, it's great to cook with, delicious in salads. Huh? So what about the fact ambergris? That comes from the sperm whale, makes the finest perfumes in the world. What about lavender oil? What about peppermint oil? What about mint oil? What about all these things in nature? Tells you right here. Adam, Eve, you got control over it. You want to bring oil out of the ground? Bring oil out of the ground. You want to raise certain kind of trees? Sure you can do it. You got control of the animals? You can crossbreed them. And get certain products. Everything today was available, but the devil has taken it and made man with his inventive genius, which is from Satan, which is the knowledge and the wisdom from below. What has he done? He's perverted every single thing. But you take it back to real original nature, untrammeled, or unharmed by pesticides and the rotten gunk in the universe, you've got the most marvelous food in the world for your body. What did Brother Branham say? There's no minerals left in the soil. There's nothing left anymore. Therefore, there's nothing in the food. So if the body turns to mush, which it does, what about your brain? Well, the brain now becomes very fertile for the devil. So drugs, 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 drugs. Here in the beginning. Now I'm going to cut this short because I don't have time. Gold. Here's your gold standard. It's mentioned twice. Look at gold. People die for it. Look at diamonds, onyx. Look at it. They kill for it. It's called the great assets. How did the banking system start? Well, in England, the nobles and lords had gold plate and they had jewels and things. And they were... people were able to steal from them. So they took them to people who had literally some vault or somewhere where they could take their plate and their jewels and their good things. And the man would write out a, say, this was owned by so-and-so and so-and-so, give you the paper. And then they learned how that if you wanted some money, you could borrow on it. And the bankers learned how that they could use it and lend on it. And you got your financial system. A means of exchange. You simply can't use barter. It doesn't work. It wouldn't work in our civilization. And we have grown along the rivers and the lakes and the oceans. Civilization has always gone there. And you notice civilization always goes to the beauty spots. Lake Tahoe. Kaiser Lake. If they didn't stop you from polluting it, it'd be polluted. They stop you having boats, not even electric boats. Get a little sailboats, old get in a canoe. But you look at the rivers and the waters. Everywhere is polluted by the rich people. And they got riparian rights that the government grants them. And they can have the beaches. And they can go down and have a swell time like the Kennedys with their stinking adulteries and immorality. Because they got the money. They got the gold. They got the silver. They got the fiduciary. But Americans' fiduciary doesn't have any backing anymore. See, the gold is not owned by American anymore. It went off the gold stand. Mr. Roosevelt did that. Crippled the whole thing. But we're looking at this picture here. This gold and these jewels have been perverted to a wrong end. Now let's go back to Satan. He's got an ephod. He's got all of these jewels in there, but not the jewels of God. There's about three or four different things that Satan doesn't have, but he's got them. It started in heaven. He brought it down to earth. He brought it down to earth and he beat God to the punch. Yeah. Because under Moses, when God said, I'm going to make an ark, tell me, what did he make the ark of? Gold. Right? What did he make the altar of? Brass. What did he make the sea of? Silver. Now, what are the walls of New Jerusalem, the foundations? Wonderful jewels. What are the gates? Pearls. What are the streets? Gold. So God had worship set up in heaven. Streets lined with transparent gold. Beautiful diamonds and emeralds. We saw a little reflection down here. And men became greedy. And the devil began to use the wealth that God put here so that mankind could worship God in his fallen state in a material way that was glorifying to God. You know something? Except under very extreme conditions, which you would have to do and almost emulate God himself by using some type of, well, I guess like cyclones, or atomic devices, you simply cannot get rid of a mineral, an element. An element is original, it's stable, it's solid. And under the present conditions, unless you exert tremendous force and play, hydrogen will always be hydrogen, oxygen always oxygen, tin will always be tin, calcium always calcium, gold will always be gold, silver always silver, platinum always platinum. Now, God had, according to the scripture, told Moses, see, thou make all things according to the pattern which I've showed thee in the mount. And he came down, and he made things out of skin. He made them out of wood. He made them out of gold. Wood plated with gold. And then when it came time for an ark before Moses, he said, come on, take the pitch, and take the acacia wood, the balsam wood, the light wood that can float. And he said, pound the pitch in there until that becomes absolutely waterproof. He gave him the perfect dimensions, which nobody understands stress and physics. And they'll tell you flat, the ark is the perfect measurement. And Noah got it from God. They built it perfectly. Everything you'll see in the Bible, everything here upon earth is used, the cedar wood. That was already grown out either in the Garden of Eden or outside of it. The pine, all the beautiful things, and cedar has a special context or a place to play in the earth of God. What about the palm tree signifying life and you get oil from the palm? What about the olive tree? You get the beautiful oil to eat and to live. And by the way, you can use olive oil all you want because that's a good type of oil. It lowers the bad cholesterol and brings up the good. And remember, everybody needs good cholesterol. And by the way, don't even believe what the doctors tell you about cholesterol. It's a bunch of lies. There's a bunch of lies. Don't worry about it. I can eat eggs and butter till my head floats in grease and my cholesterol's 100% beautiful. And my bad cholesterol's down where it should be, and the first time my good cholesterol fell. More olive oil, Brother Vale. More eggs for breakfast. Fry them in butter. Eat up, kid. Yeah, you can believe a doctor so far, but they give you a bunch of Tommy rot. Forget it. They tell you there's no cure for cancer. I got a fellow sitting here every time Brother Woodward comes up from down in the Carolinas, right, Brother Revis? And he cured himself with the sour grass. Little looks like a shamrock, a little yellow flower, and you make it into paste, and he showed me the place where the cancer came out. He said, you can't stand pain, don't use it. He said, it's just about to kill you. It's an Indian treatment. Ho, ho. Thank God for the Iroquois, the Cree, or whatever it is that found it. Herbs are given for mankind to live on. Well, what has science done? They put in drugs. And at the end time, everybody's on drugs. So what a mess you're in. See, every one of these things were there. What has happened? Now, we have drugs from the good poppy. Poppy seed is very good if you use it the right way. And marijuana is fine if you use it the right way. Tobaccos are good if you use it the right way, which is to soak it in water and then pour it on insects so they die. That's the way you do. Sure. Everything God put here is good if you use it right. But what has man done? Man has commercialized it. He's commercialized everything on earth and brought it to nothing. The same as he has commercialized religion. Now, at the same time, the church has, and the Catholic Church is the enemy. They have done this. They have bought the souls of men. They have paid for the masses. They have make you pay for their prayers. They make you pay for grease candles. They make you pay for everything. And especially praying the people out of purgatory. They made millions and millions of dollars. When I was just a very young man, I was told that every Catholic church in Canada had a cross of gold worth $75,000 at least. What's that worth today? Mexico City, a friend of mine was invited because he was standing there. The priest brought him in and took him all over the basilica. And in the front alone, 22 gates of 15 tons of gold apiece, not counting what's behind and what's all over the dome. St. Peter's Basilica cannot be named the billions of dollars it's worth. So what have they done? They've taken the wealth of the world. Now, the church has done it, which was the moral force and influence of the world. Christianity, the predominant one, and that's what we're talking about, has taken the wealth of the world and used it illegally and contrary to Almighty God. Now, then we're going to go to the book of James so I can finish today and get you out of here and show you where we are at. Right before the coming of the Lord in verse 5. Now, first of all, in chapter 4, whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not because you ask not. In other words, James is saying here, it's the same as the Proverbs. There are a few things on earth that never say enough. Number one, it's the fire. You can never make a fire say it's enough. You can never make the thirsty ground, the desert, say it's enough. Neither can you take a man who wants money ever say it is enough. One of your greatest, richest men in America today is Buffett. And I understand that if you'd invested $10,000 with him 20, 30 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire, if not a billionaire. And Buffett himself admits the pleasure he gets in life is making money. What a travesty against the Word of God. What an antichrist. What a devil. What a beast that man is. If he was an American citizen, he's not even that. He would say, I make my money to create jobs. We'll hit the CEO in just a minute. They never have enough. If they get a million, they want a billion. If they get a billion, they want 20 billion. If you get to run a company, you want to swallow every company up. We'll talk about it. I read the article the CEOs themselves wrote, not me. James said, you never get enough. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, what's the matter with the other guys that don't ever have anything, where the other guys have too much and never get enough? Because they don't know the laws of God concerning proper materiality. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The minute the Garden of Eden was vacated, they went right to the land where there's gold and silver and platinum and minerals and oils and beautiful trees and beautiful things that you can blend and make into various things you want. You can take the clay and make it into vessels. You can take the lumber, make it into beautiful things. You can take the gold and make beautiful shrines. You can take all of these things and have beauty piled upon beauty. You can live like one emperor did. He had rose petals for his bed. I hope they put in the thorns. I don't know. I wish they did. rose petals. Then they take the down off of the goose. Not just the feathers now. They take the nice down and they make the soft pillows and the down quilts for you. I'm not against it. I don't like down quilts myself, but I like wool. Take the wool off the sheep and they make it into quilts. You see, once you got outside of there, it went to materiality. They had lost the Holy Spirit that guided them in the Garden of Eden to name the beasts and all, and now they were bereft of God. They were on their own with the Word. Oh yes, Cain had it, Abel had it, Adam had it, Eve had it, they had the Word of God sufficient, but they go out here and they've sold themselves into the captivity of the devil, his wisdom, his reasonings, and now they'll take everything in this land that's material and turn it against themselves and against God. You think it isn't true, then where do the bullets come from that kill people? Where do the swords come from that kill people? Where do the drugs that come from that kill people? And why are they there? Because money, 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 money. Now what does James say at the end time? Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries have come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Well, that sounds like the third chapter of the book of Revelation, right? Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be witness against you. In other words, they put it in a place where it's wasted. They're pouring water into a sieve instead of a tankard. It's become useless and valueless. Now, they shall witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You've heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. Even your unions can't do you much good because the rich man's got a bigger lobby in Washington. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the harvest. Last days, harvest. You've lived in pleasure on earth, and she that lives in pleasure dead already. And been wanton. Like a harlot. You gave your favors to men instead of your own husband. Women are doing that all around the country. I wonder how many churches there are without women like that and men that hang around for one reason. Pigs. Not sheep, pigs. Dogs. You've and been wanton. You've nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Heaped up this for the end time. In other words, whether you know it or not, they've been deliberately getting themselves ready for the end time. No wonder we have to have John the Baptist come, Elijah come to make ready a people prepared for God. Bride was no more ready than nothing. God's prepared vessels were messed up. Dirty around the rim and dirty on the inside. Need a good catharsis. Of the mind, which is the Word of God. You take this Word, it'll clean your mind up of all the corruption that's in there. Filth and defecation. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. That's true in America today. The criminal is vaunted and glorified. And they launch attacks against the government and courts of law because the government's not nice to them. You're supposed to pamper the criminal. Why a man put a gun in his place? Because they're robbing him day and night. And he put a warning or not. He booby trapped it and the guy got shot and sued him and won in court. And they were good. The thoughts were to stop these guys messing up our parking lot out here. To put in some nice spikes to blow tires. And the sheriff said, you got a good idea, but it's illegal. They can sue you. So they can rip the church down. It's okay. Oh, these nice criminals, these little boys and little girls, you know, their parents, one morning, and they've been in shock ever since, and now they can kill, murder, and commit adultery or anything else. It's okay. What can the parents say to the kids? Oh, don't take dope, because they themselves are dope heads. Your baby boomers are a bunch of scum. How are they going to tell their kids don't take pot, don't take drugs? I could tell my kids don't smoke, don't do a thing I never did in my life. Then you look around our place, it goes on ice cream and puddings. Dessert. Alcohol's not bad if you burn it in a lamp or something. Now watch what it says. Be patient therefore, brethren, who are being gypped by people, who hold back from you what is rightly yours by Almighty God giving it to Adam, and it's still his, but Satan's running it. And don't tell me it's not his, because the Bible tells me that everything written in the first chapters of Genesis, this earth is going to be dissolved, then the old earth is going to pass away, and the old heavens, and God's going to reconstitute and bring it right back here, and there's going to be a river of life, and the tree of life, roots on both sides, and streets of gold, and everybody glorifying God who should be there and doing it the right way. And the city, as I said, has foundations of the most glorious jewels in the world. And the gates 11 miles wide, I think it is, of a solid pearl. Mind, I wonder they don't need any light up there except the Lamb. Once His glow strikes all those beautiful streets of gold, there's light everywhere. A beautiful diffused light. A glow, not a glare. Brother Branham explained that. All right. It said, be patient, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. That's the presence of Perusia. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. That's our bodies. And then get the world back. As long patience for it, till he received the early and the latter rain. Now that's at one time. The early rain falls at the time of the latter rain, when in history it never could happen. Early rain, latter rain's latter rain. But now you got a ripening rain at the very time that the rain comes, which is the Word of God. So now you got a ripening word that comes at the time of the end time. And is going to get the saints ready. Now, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Left hand, right hand. What's the judge needed for? He's needed to tell you what the law really means and how you apply it. In other words, the framework, the word within the framework of the word. And we've got it right today. Why? Because the judge himself came down and gave it to us. Here's what you're looking at. You're looking at the time when everything material is going to go. And even our bodies will not have to go to the grave and be dissolved and brought back. Our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And this is the last trump, the seventh trump of the seven church ages. And it's also the trump which God sounds to take us up into glory. We're at that end time, brother, sister. And do not be deceived. Now the scripture here tells you that the man that labors, who's joined unions, that's why Brother Branham was not against unions, except at the end time when the Antichrist takes over, the Pope takes over. And remember, the Pope went to Geneva way back before the 60s, and he appeared at a peace conference with the World Council of Laborers and Unions and said, I'm for you, boys. You can count on me. A bag of hot air. Yeah, they can count on him to lead him. Just like when Henny Penny had an acorn fall on her head, she said, the world, the sky is fallen, and she got a bunch of geese and turkeys and idiots following her. And Foxy Loxy came by and he said, do tell. He said, I've got just the place to save you from the heavens falling on your head. And he took them to the den and lopped their heads off. He had a good meal. The Satan is interested in the choices beyonds, which are humans. I know we don't eat souls, but the devil does. All right. Let me read you now what I've said for a long time. The trouble today in America and the world is we have CEOs and men running industries that didn't invest one cent. They got there through politics mostly, because your best men are always on the field selling and the other men are there improvising or inventing or doing something that's worthwhile, or these bird brains wouldn't be there. And if you want to read the truth, you read Delbert. And Dogbert and the whole bunch by the guy that writes that cartoon, because he was in that circle. Now it says right here, layoffs bring big pay. So if you're laid off of your job, someone's got your money. And you better believe it. A study criticizes the 4-year trend for CEOs, and many corporate bosses agree. In Washington, chief executives of big companies are continually being rewarded with fat compensation for laying off more employees. According to a study released Thursday, and apparently even some CEOs think this is an outrageous practice, the Institute for Policy Studies, a liberal research group, said it has found the same trend for 4 consecutive years. Wall Street rewards CEOs for making layoffs by pushing up stock prices, which are the basis for the biggest component of CEO compensation, stock options. Now, my God, when did you hear a man hired to run a company took it over? Gratis. Hey, boy, take it. Hey, boy, take it. Hey, girl, have your share. Come on, come on. There's a big pie here. Where does this come from? Does this come from the shareholders? You got to be an idiot. This comes from the devil. This is a devil's smooth game. The illegitimate crooks. The survey done with Boston United for a Fair Economy found that the pay for CEOs at 30 corporations with the biggest layoffs last year rose an average of 67.3%. Hey, Ralph, how would you like to get a 67% increase in your salary? You're not going to get it. You know why? Because these boys have got it. What about you, Chris? You think maybe you can get a 65% increase? No, they got you down there in the paint department. Right. They're going to use you. Use your brains, and as the time comes and they can make money by throwing you out, they'll throw you out. Yeah, I hate to say things like this, but come on. We're living in a very realistic situation. I'm reading you Bible fulfillment. 20th century language of what was written 2,000 years ago under inspiration of God himself. Now, compared with 54 for CEOs at the top 365. So now you got one group 67% and one group 54. Hey, such excessive pay should garner even less respect when the beneficiary is a leading job slasher, the study said. More surprisingly, CEOs apparently agree. Yeah, so does Kennedy agree, but he never gives a nickel. Oh, be ye warmed and fed, but don't touch my pocketbook. Oh, have a crust of bread. I've got to dine on veal scallopini today with $40 pasta per noodle. The Business Week Harvard poll shows the top executives in the nation's largest corporations believe the current executive pay system is out of control. Nearly half the 400 senior executives surveyed said they think the CEO pay at big companies has surpassed acceptable limits. 56% said top managers should take salary cuts if their companies post poor results. 88% said those managers should lose all or most of their bonuses. Why? They're losing the company and the stockholders' money. Among what the Institute put, the policy studies dubbed the layoff leaders and their total direct compensation, including salary, bonus, and long-term compensation in 1996. That's just last year. Lockheed Martin CEO Norman Augustine, $23 million, 3,100 layoffs to get it. Hey, I'd lay off 3,100 too to get $323 million, wouldn't you, if I was a greedy dog and didn't give a rip? You know what? I got news. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. If he laid off 3,100 to get this 31 million, he'll answer to God millions of times in the lake of fire for having done it. Brother, sister, don't ever get an idea because you're a Christian. You're born again and you sin and you sow wrong. Oh, forgive me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I won't have to reap. You are a liar. You are sick. You have condemned yourself. You will reap what you sow. Period. And when I sow one grain of wheat, as far as I know, there was one grain of wheat on our back porch fell in the ground. Now, I hope I'm not telling a lie, but I'm trying to illustrate the truth, if it is the truth. There came up several shoots of stalks of wheat. And on each head was about 20 wheat. And I think there's about 10. So if I reaped actually 200 from one, that's even double the Bible. Because it's 30, 60, 100. And at the last day, it could be true. Why? Because they made wheat different from what it was back in the day of Jesus. When you planted one wheat and got maybe five or six little, kernels back. Right? Well, you know that's the truth because we've hybridized things. All right. Allied Signaling Corporation, CEO Lawrence Bossidy, 11.8 million, 3,250 layoffs. He didn't do quite so good per capita. As for comment, the company issued a statement saying, by any measure, Larry Bossidy is one of the nation's most talented and valuable CEOs. Sure. Who made that comment? The devil. Didn't he say to Adam and Eve, or to Eve, oh, you won't die. You're going to get a bitter and a beggar position. You're going to, like unto God himself now. You'd be right up there talking to God and advising God. And didn't the Pope a few years ago, Pope Pius XII say, Mary's ascended, Mary's ascended, Mary's ascended? Why, he told God, Mary's ascended. God told me different. She's not ascended. She's up where she belongs. She's going to get her body. And she'll be one of the last ones up. And then she'll be in the first gang going up above. So we know more than the Pope. 3,250 layoffs. Now, he has had to make some hard decisions, which resulted in the elimination of some jobs, but greater job security for the vast majority of employees. Of course, they'll use any such stuff. The devil did. He said, Eve, you won't die, and you're going to be better shape than ever. Why, you're going to survive. You're going to be right there with God. You won't die. Come on. I'm guaranteeing you a job, girl. But I got to get rid of this guy, Adam, a few more. Huh? Got to put God down. Alco CEO Paul O'Neill, 7.7 million. And he laid off 3,975 employees. This study said 459,000 U.S. workers were laid off in the last 3 months. Never mind the first nine. Of 1996, a 2% increase from the same period years earlier. Here's what Mountain View, California said. Netscape Communication Corporation Chief Executive Officer, whose company lost 2/3 of its value over the past 16 months, will accept only $1 in salary this year. She said, I did the company bad. I can't take any money. James Markdale believes his compensation should be linked to the long-term interest of the company's shareholders. Netscape said in a proxy statement filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Barksdale won't be a pauper. He received a handsome stock option plan when he joined Netscape, the leading maker of software for browsing the Internet's World Wide Web. That should, I guess, Vince, you know all about that. Nonetheless, Barksdale's decision is exceedingly unusual. Oh, it has to be unusual. He sounds like a Christian. Said executive compensation expert Greif Crystal. It sounds like a genuine sacrifice. Only a dirty hog would want different. Netscape has been battling software titan Microsoft Corporation. The companies have competing web browsers and software that helps large corporations run computer networks. Last year, Burkdale accepted no increase in on his base pay of $100,000. And he refused a bonus and received no options. Barksdale controls 5.3 million shares, about 6% in Netscape's stock. Now, there's the true story of what's going on. Here's the fifth chapter of James, absolutely fulfilled. I've been preaching for years and telling us these guys that have risen up and taking the stockholders' money. Now let's go to the press. You've got two presses and they tell you two different things. One says, oh, stock market's great. Millionaires and soon billionaires from the stock market. Hogwash. The other release says nobody's making any money in the stock market. And that's 100% true. Everybody's buying shares that are overrated. And they're saying, oh, ho, ho. Now, let's see. This share went from $10 to $35. Oh, great. Now, it's going to go from $35 to $95. And I'll sell it at $95. So they buy it at $35. Because this guy sold out at $35, having bought it for nickels and dimes. Now, this guy here, he's going to make a killing. He's not going to make a killing. It's going to crash. It's all gone. It's over. And Satan in the church will turn all the financial conditions around. The Babylon that now exists financially is going to go down in a crash and will be resurrected by gold to take the head of the world. It'll come out of the United States without a doubt. Brother Branham said to the Pope coming out of here in America builds the image. And it's all but over with the shouting. Satan has achieved his goal. And God has achieved his goal. And he came and appeared on to two hands, right hand and left hand. On the right hand was the blessing of a bride coming in to maturity and getting ready to go, and the world for cannon fodder. So there's where it started. Chapter 2 in Genesis. Adam forfeited his stewardship. And remember, a steward does not invest his own money, but he's responsible for the goods of another. And he will be judged on that day as faithful or unfaithful, and he will pay the price for all, bar none, must stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and give account of the deeds done in the flesh. And believe me, there'll be one standard measurement, the revealed word of Almighty God. Now, time's more than gone. But I take you to one more place. And we go to the book of Malachi. And in there it says, will a man rob God? He said, in tithes and offerings have you robbed me. The church, had these people here, are very faithful with tithes and offerings, but the church at large is not. And if you get condemned in one point of the law, you'll get condemned in all. Because the cardinal sin of this hour is the intrinsicality and the essentiality, the being, everything that produces and emanates, everything that is guided in the life, comes from the love of money. And that love of money, gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, assets, all of those things, people are guided. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy and peace and love in the Holy Ghost. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but a courage, a love, and a sound mind. We've been given empathy within our souls for our brothers and sisters, not like the rich man that woke up in hell and he began to sorrow for his brother and regret his own life. We haven't been given that. We're given the chance here in this last hour to put our houses in order financially. Brother Branham preached on it like I'm preaching on. Don't think he didn't. I can get you the tapes. He decried what people were doing, all in the name of William Branham and the gospel. Going into debt, running up their credit cards, borrowing everything else, docking out on debts, and running to meetings. Say, oh, if I was in a meeting, I'll be sure to make the rapture. Hogwash. You go to that meeting on somebody else's credit. They went there on somebody else's money. They dodged responsibility. They didn't get anything out of those meetings. How could they do it? How can you when you're off the Spirit of God who's in this word here? So I don't want to belabor any more points, but we're going to call this off because the next time I preach, if I get around to it, I'm going to take the moral issues on when God gave Adam and Eve the rights to propagate the earth and the conditions and means thereof, and they blew it. And that is the primary one of all. But the point is, there is nothing that's not primary in the book of Genesis because you see it all in Revelation. And this system is going to fall in ours. It's going to crash. But Rome will revive it. Somebody said that Brother Branham said in the book of Revelation, there are two Babylons. I didn't hear him say it. I don't know where he could have said it. It's not on a tape to my knowledge. But it looks very, very true that there is a Babylon right now that's going to crash. And the merchants and all are going to wail and say, oh, this great system is gone. This was the right one. This was the good one. Even Greenspan, who studied Ayn Rand, said, I was brought to the conclusion that that laissez-faire capitalist democracy is not only right, it is moral. Yeah, moral. Rome will infuse it. It'll arise again. And Antichrist will run it all. But thank God that evil spirit will soon have nothing to do with us because God will take us out of here. We won't be run out. We'll be lifted out through the power of God. All right, you have lunch with us shortly. Let's rise and be dismissed. So appreciative that you came and your patience till I can put these things on a tape, poor as they may sound at times. And as bad as they sound, because sometimes I lose continuity by not using notes, just using what I can. But I trust you have seen the Alpha and Omega principle and the truth of sowing and reaping, and that responsibility is a tremendous part of this life. So let's become more responsible, even if we have just a few minutes left. Could we be like Samson? Just one more time, Lord. Just give me strength one more time. That's all it required. And Samson was thoroughly vindicated and put down amongst the heroes of faith, along with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there he stands by the grace of God. We have the opportunity today as we get ready to go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and your mercy extended to us, the strength you've given us to stand here with the Word of God, trusting and believing that what we've said is certainly the Word of God, certainly the truth, Lord, certainly right there as we see it before us laid out in Scripture, and it begins to ring home to us that which is positively given to us through the prophet, Lord. We're so grateful for everything you told us, and we find that it has its roots right here in the Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the trail of the serpent. It is true. But also, Lord, we see your glory, the glory which is hidden from man, the soft light in the dark tunnel that men refuse because they're looking for a great glare. They're looking for something ostentatious, something that is suitable for the kings of the earth that have been deluded by Satan, but not suitable for the children of God who have been brought to the truth and walk softly therein, not presuming and neither doubting, but knowing the way is clear, walk ye therein. And a voice behind us saying, that's right, keep going, keep walking. How glad we are, Lord. There is a voice before us, there's a voice behind us, there's a voice in us, and they all line with your word, and we're progressing, marching, marching upward, waiting for the day of the great incarnation of you yourself, Lord, the great Holy Spirit, and we there, blessed because of you and a part of you. Grant your children healing this morning, Lord, those that need healing. Strengthen those who seem weak and tired, Lord. Those that are anxious, may they have rest. May your people today come to the blessedness of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God hovering every heart and soul and calming every mind, so that there's none among us who is dissatisfied, who in any way is not calm and quiet, but the quietness, the grace of our God possessing each one of us, our moderation known of all men, our lives open before you and before all, so that we truly are the mature and blameless sons of God in this age, prepared and ready to go because you have done it. Now unto the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior, word without end. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.